Okay, the top 54 players in the field at the 85th Masters advanced to the weekend, and 53 of them chased Justin Rose. As we welcome you in, good morning. It is the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. We head out to Jersey and say hi to Michael Lombardi. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you today? How are things? Good Saturday going, huh? We ready to go?
36 down, man. 36 to go. It is going to be quite a weekend, huh? Thank you. Yes, I'm doing well. I can't wait for this. You got your boys in the mix, Justin Thomas and Tony Finau.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're paired up together today.
I like it. I can't wait to watch it. And we got Will Zalatoris. I mean, you got to look at that kid. I mean, was he amazing or what? I mean, you know, happy birthday, Bill. He wasn't approving of his dress code, but I thought, I just went back and did some research on him. I mean, remarkable golfer in high school. I mean, Plano, Texas kid that just dominated the Texas State, won the Texas State tournament, amateur tournament at a young age. I mean, what an impressive, impressive round the kid had once you get past his wardrobe, which I didn't have a problem with, somebody else did. But the reality of it is he was poised and so effective. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, you see Zalatoris there as you take a look at the top of the leaderboard. Justin Rose, who was 3 over through 7, similar, Michael, to what he did on his first 18 there on Thursday, but then had 3 birdies to close out, even par 72. You see Zalatoris, the American, and Harmon, the American, up top. Harmon been around a little bit more. You mentioned Zalatoris is essentially an unknown. Let me give you a couple of the updated numbers. So I don't think this will surprise you. Look, it's what we all want. Spieth and Thomas on Sunday. I mean, generational golfers. Right now, Michael, 4-1 on Spieth with the updated odds to win the tournament. Thomas, your second betting favorite at 5.5-1.
Yeah, you know, we said yesterday on the show, what would the number be on Saturday coming into Saturday? Would it be? And I posted 6, and Rose, you know, coming back and really fought back on the second 9 to be able to really close even par at 72, which was, to me, in a remarkable round considering how he started on the first 9 to the second 9. It was really a tribute to his mental toughness to me. And so I just don't see a guy winning, leading all 4. He's not playing at an elite level to dominate every single day. At some point, this is going to catch up to him, whether it's Zalatoris, whether it's Spieth, whether it's JT. I don't know, but somebody from the pack is going to catch up to him.
Yeah, Rose is sitting 6-1. Now, it depends on what book you look at with these golf numbers. So, again, whether it's matchups or futures, Rose right now, I got him at 6-1. You see the same number on the board. Harmon, 12-1. Michael's buddy, Zalatoris, 9-1 sitting. Now, 2 of the best iron players in the world, of course, 26 wins between the two of them. Neither are even 28. Best players of their generation right now, Spieth and Thomas, even, you know, friends, lifelong friends, junior players together. So this is, I mean, it's shaping up again to be fantastic. Both have had their struggles, and we mentioned the iron play outside of Morikawa. Those are the 2 best right now. Very interesting to see exactly how this plays out as we get you going. We'll keep you updated as the pairings get going at the 85th Masters, round 3 here on the Lombardi Line. Plenty to do. Here's an action update.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Justin Rose, a leader after 36 holes of the Masters at Augusta National. He's at 7 under par. He is 4-1 to win the tournament. Will Zalatoris and Brian Harmon are 1 shot off the pace at 6 under par. Zalatoris 12-1. Harmon 14-1. Jordan Spieth at 5 under. 4-1, same odds as Justin Rose. Mark Leishman also at 5 under. He is 20-1. Tony Finau, 4 under par, 14-1. Justin Thomas at 4 under par. He is 5-1 to win the tournament. Leader after the third round, Justin Rose 3-1. Jordan Spieth 5-1. Start your free trial today to VSIN at VSIN.com/subscribe. You'll get 24/7 video access, our daily subscriber-only Best Bets email with the best bets from hosts and guests, and you'll also get Point Spread Weekly. VSIN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, Cashing tickets is what it's all about.
The Lombardi Line, it's VSiN. Remember, if you're in town here in Nevada, BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. It's the only place to go. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring your state-issued ID. You're going to be ready to go in minutes. Again, visit BetMGM.com. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's a great Saturday here on the Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, he's Michael Lombardi. Lombardi's back in his office today as we move away from the casino. How you feeling, my man?
It feels good. You know, it feels good to be back in the office here. I'm here Monday through Friday, so I miss seeing Thomas Gable and some of that bad coffee that we typically drink. But other than that, it's really good. It's good to be back here. And we'll be back. Hopefully, we'll be back during football season. This is just a little bit of a quiet period in our show, so it's all good. Hey, I wanted to touch base with you. I know I'm stepping outside my lines, and I'm very, very cognizant of that. But the hourly forecast, have they thought about moving up the start times today? Because it does appear to my weather map, not maybe as
I got my Doppler. Don't worry.
Okay, please.
Mine.
It looks like we're going to get a little rain around that 7 o'clock hour. I just was wondering, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Michael. Thank you very much. Saturday afternoon could provide a pivotal switch here as the leaderboard. Listen, here's what I have written down. You tell me if you have something different. We're going to have stronger winds. And with those greens being dried out, the winds, it makes it even trickier to putt, obviously, not just with the iron play. But winds will sit around 9 miles an hour, but gusts up to 15 miles an hour. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because there's a greater than 60% chance of rain in the afternoon, including a threat of thunderstorms today, and showers could continue into the evening. But as of today and this morning when I woke up, not expecting rain Sunday morning. So you just mentioned it. As the day progresses, a better chance of rain. And it's, you know, if you're just joining us, the golfers want to see some rain because they want to see those greens slow down a little bit. But yeah, 60% greater than 60% chance of rain this afternoon, Michael.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, you have to pay attention to it. Thunderstorms are going to keep players off the course, but it did make the course a little more attackable. I thought that when you listen to the commentary of the players, they felt like there were certain holes they could attack based on pin locations, based on their ability to control their irons. And look, this is an iron tournament. As much as
Absolutely.
We want to talk about the driving off the tees, it's an iron tournament. And some of the guys are just not hitting their irons very good. And then when you don't drive well and it compounds your iron play, it just makes it so challenging. I mean, Rory McIlroy, oh my. I mean, on that flight back home to Ireland today, he's got to be sitting there thinking, what do I have to – I got to reevaluate this whole thing. I mean, because he just has not been able to play well at a course you would think he would play well.
The higher winds will create tougher playing conditions, Michael, as you just mentioned. Let's talk about the three. I call it the three-headed monster as we head into the weekend. Again, just 54 players remain, 53 chasing Justin Rose. You see it there. The Englishman. I think that's how you say it. But how about the three that are missing out? DJ, who just torched the course in November, 20 under. He gone. Your boy, you just mentioned, Rory, he's gone. And then Brooks Koepka. Now, we didn't expect much because of the knee surgery, yeah. But he's gone as well.
Yeah, and plus, you know, he's dealing with walking around those undulations and the hills, and it is a tough course to walk, according to what people say. I've not been there. But so, you know, you got to figure a guy coming off an injury. Dustin Johnson hadn't been playing well going into it. And Rory's got to be the most disappointing guy of all time. I mean, for him not to at least make the cut, it's got to really just eat at him to do that, you know. So
I agree.
Look, I think we got a great leaderboard, and I think there's a lot of people. We can make some money here. You know, if you had JT early to start it, you're sitting pretty good spot. Jordan Spieth, a lot of people were betting on that. So I think there's a lot of areas here where we think can really you can make some money. And
how
it's going to come down to putting. putting and driving. Tony Finau.
Yeah.
Tony Finau. I mean, look, he's played well. How about the Cameron Champ kid? Oh, my God. How good
Champ's
was he yesterday, Patrick?
Yeah, absolutely. Champ's a stud. By the way, your boy Finau at 12-1, so you can get a good number on him right now if he's going to win the tournament. Cameron Champ, how about this? 33-1 posted on the board right now. You've got Rahm in the mix as well. Schauffele is 16-1. We've seen him have success as of late. So, again, as this is a nice leaderboard. We just mentioned three big dogs being out of the tournament, but I think most are pointing to Spieth and Thomas. And Finau, who you love, he's got a top five in all four majors. Again, remember, Finau is 31. He never went that traditional route. He didn't go to college. He turned pro essentially as a 17-year-old and went to the mini tours. But he's one of those guys. He's always the bridesmaid here, Michael Lombardi, finishing second.
Right. But I think you could take the same strategy in golf that I like to take in picking the MVP in the league. So say I have a ticket for Justin Thomas at what do I I had it at 11-1, right?
Yep.
So I know if I have $100 on Justin Thomas, I'm going to win 1100, okay? So now what do I want to do to maximize that? I got that play. So maybe I'll take 50 and just take $200 and spread it around four other golfers. And, you know, if JT comes in, I'm still at a profit. And then I protect myself with something else. So do I pick, you know, take Spieth or take, you know, Zalatoris or whomever you want to take and then spin the wheel with those four players and just feel like, okay, I've got a really good chance. And then see where it lands on Sunday. And then you know with you, at least if you have Finau and Jordan and Justin Thomas at the start of the tournament, you've got, you're guaranteed that if one of those guys gets hot and you win it, you're good. But you also offset your losses, which I think is something people need to do. This is not a one for all and all for one tournament. You got to be a little bit more adaptable on as the course is going and as the tournament goes along to protect your winnings.
Yep, of course, you can bet the matchups. You can bet the score for the third round. As I take a look, Morikawa set at 71 as far as his score in the third round. Again, the conditions could get tough because it is going to be windy out there, which is going to make the conditions tougher and a greater than 60% chance of rain. We're going to be here. We're going to be here tomorrow, of course, Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM right here on VSiN for the Masters.
And, go ahead. You know, I know we're here, and it's taken 12 minutes into the show, but I'm is JVT on today, or are we doing him
JVT,
tomorrow?
JVT, we're going to have our buddy Thomas Gable and Josh Applebaum. I think JVT's going to be joining us tomorrow. What happened?
Tomorrow. I need an apology. I need an apology from, you know,
from me?
I mean, I was accused. No, I know you know I was serious about that, but, I mean, I'm disappointed to the listeners that I didn't recommend the Pelicans on the money line yesterday. I said take the points. I had it in my pocket, Patrick. I had it in my pocket. That was the easiest money you could have ever earned off of my advice. I can't give better advice than when it comes to Philadelphia. Look, I know it too well. I've lived it too long. That was a gimme putt. That was a gimme putt. Taking the six.
Hey, I like your cross sport reference with the gimme putt and the analogy. So what Michael's talking about, of course, the Pelicans beat the 76ers 101-94, closed 5.5, so bet down a little bit from 6. But you nailed it. I was wrong on the over as well. You nailed it. You have your pulse. And we talk about specializing in all kidding aside, we talk about specializing in wagering. Michael has his thumbprint on this team, the 76ers, like no other.
I truly believe, and I'm telling this to the listening audience, if I say bet them or don't bet them, I'm not doing it because I'm rooting against them and I'm doing hopefully they'll prove me wrong. They never prove me wrong. They always prove me right. I know it. I mean, you know, I could just see it. You know, Embiid, 31 minutes last night. You know, what happened in that game was the pace was too much for them. They're not. Simmons is. He couldn't keep up. He played 31 minutes last night, Patrick. That's all he played.
Yeah.
That's all he played. I mean, he took his tip. You know, he took 3 3-pointers. You know, if you're the MVP of the league, and I like to discuss this with JVT, if you're the MVP of the league and you're supposed to be the best player in the league, do you walk into New Orleans and get your butt beat? You don't do that. No.
Let me ask you, how is it possible to score 94 points on one of the worst defensive teams we've seen in years?
I mean, it was unbelievable. They couldn't. Well, first of all, Steph Curry's 0 for 7. He couldn't hit. He couldn't put it in the ocean yesterday. So forget that, right? You know, and then you know, we got Embiid was 5 for 16. You know, my man, you know, the big guy gave him some trouble. This guy, Willie Hern Gomez, always gives him trouble. He beats him up. He kind of gets physical with him. And even though he really can't handle him, he kind of pushes him. Steven Adams does a good job on him, too. Between those two guys, they beat him up. And it wear him down. But look, they couldn't stop Zion. Zion was incredible. I mean, could you imagine if Zion actually got himself in incredible shape? I mean, I know he had 37. He's 15 for 28 from the floor last night, 7-11 from the free throw line. You know, 15 rebounds. He was great. I mean, he was tremendous. But to me, I don't know what his longevity is with that body.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
That to me isn't it. I don't think he's in shape. I just think to me, if I was his advisor, I'd say, look, you know, you can go like this, but I'm not sure you can stay like this. I mean, we got to lean down a little bit here to save some of the pressure off your joints.
Let's go ahead and pull up the updated MVP odds, JJ, for the NBA. I know Jokic was the favorite at almost 150. Embiid, your boy, you used to call him Chubby. You've been respectful of him this year. He's 4.5 to 1.
He wasn't in shape. He wasn't in shape last night. There's no way he was in shape last night. I mean, that
he
that
fell
just,
out of
I
shape for one game.
Screen.
What the hell happened?
Well, I think the pace of the game was too much, Patrick. I think that if you watch that game, it was going up and down the court. They didn't score like typically. I mean, the Pelicans shot 18% from the 3-point line, right? So that was a problem. And the 76ers were 11 for 31 from the 3-point line. So there lies the reason why we didn't hit the over. Both teams did not shoot well. The Sixers only shot 41% from the floor,
right?
And the Pelicans shot 43. So there lies the reason. You know, I mean, the Pelicans out-rebounded them 56 to 47. I mean, we're supposed to have the MVP of the league, 4-1. Seriously? You walk into New Orleans, a team that, you know, yeah, I know New Orleans is a good team, but they don't play any defense, and they held you to under 100 points. And they held your MVP-like player to, you know, 14 points, well below his average? Come on. Come on. I mean, have some objectivity here.
Every time I
have
turned it on.
Have some objectivity.
Yeah, it's sloppy too, right? Because every time I turned it on, listen, they were 11 of 31 from three. If this team goes every single night as Embiid goes, you're in trouble. Meaning somebody else has to step up.
Now, he's not going to play tonight. He won't play tonight in Oklahoma City. He won't play tonight in Oklahoma City. But, you know, I mean, but they have no, you know, once again, you know, they play Mike Scott and, you know, they play Korkmaz and Shake Milton's really the only, Shake Milton should start. They should bring Curry off the bench. They should reverse those roles because Curry in a matchup when he's in the, I mean, he hasn't been able to make shots. And when he doesn't make shots, they can't score. He did an 0 for last night, 26 minutes, 0 for 7 from the field, 0 for 2 for 3-point line. Basically one turnover, minus 3 when he was on the court. I mean, yeah. How do you win like that?
By the way, we kid about it, but I'm being serious. Let's throw that number up, JJ, from last night again. You take a look at this, and Michael said, he laughed when we said the Philadelphia 76ers were laying 6.
They're not 6 points better than anybody. I mean, like, not that team. Not that team that plays pace and runs them, you know, that has a legitimate superstar that can score. You know, I just, it never made sense to me. It never made sense. And you know, 2 days in New Orleans with that young team the Sixers have, you know, New Orleans is a fun town to spend 2 days in, Patrick, as you know, once you leave your house.
I've been to New Orleans.
You go down there for two.
Wonderful cuisine. Feels like you're in America, but not really. Carnivals all over the place. I'm like you and Bill Berman on a Wednesday night. It was drinking, you know, what tornadoes or whatever they call them, hurricanes. It's awesome.
Hurricanes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so look, I think we don't factor that. We have to talk about that. Tonight, you know, when you go to New Orleans on a back-to-back, you know, you may lose the game because you're tired, but you have really nothing to do. But you have 3 days in New Orleans to do nothing but, you know, shoot around and practice. Watch out. Always bet against that.
So let's project. You just mentioned they're going to go tonight, second half of a back-to-back, Oklahoma City. The number's 11, which is a joke. Listen, the Thunder are a mess right now. I get that. They just got killed, decimated by 27 at home to Cleveland. But Embiid's not going to play. He's not going to play in the second half of a back-to-back right now. That would be my assumption. Now, maybe because what do you have, 14 points last night? I don't know if he talks his way into this lineup. I don't believe he does.
He's exhausted.
They should not be laying 11 to anybody on the road without Embiid.
No, I agree with that. And then the fact, look at the money line. I mean, here it is. There's, you know, there's been about less than 2,000 tickets on the game. All the money, just 1% of the money's on the Thunder, and the line hasn't moved. It's a line freeze right now. It's a complete line freeze. So they don't really want to give Oakland. They don't want it. They don't want it. Even though everybody's betting Philly, they don't want to take it up any higher. They don't want it to go. It opened at 11. It stayed at 11. And all the money is on 11. They don't want to move that. And I understand why. Because it's a risky proposition for Vinny and the boys to move that number. Because they know they're trying to get some balance. They're trying to get some Oklahoma City. So they want to keep that number at 11 so they can get some, to get both sides to play this. So I think it will not move. You know, look, it would be for me, because Oklahoma City Thunder is so bad, that I would be, it's a stay away, because I don't trust the Thunder to play well. I don't trust Philly to play well. But, you know, especially with the guys that I don't really know on Oklahoma Thunder team, so it's a stay away game for me.
How about this? You know, the back-to-backs and the numbers can be a little misleading, but not with the 76ers. They've been terrible this year in this situation. They're 2-6-1 ATS.
Well, they have no backup center. They traded Tony Bradley. They traded a backup center, and they get George Hill. We haven't seen George yet. You know, he's still injured, so, you know, they have no backup center. They got to play Mike Scott in there, you know, and that's really not going to work out no matter who you're playing. I mean, Mike Scott's not a backup center, so they don't play anybody. They bring Howard off the bench because they like him in that role.
I thought you were going to bring up your boys, the Bulls. How about the Bulls, who led the whole way, fourth quarter, got blown out. LaVine had 45 points with 8 minutes to go in the third. He was chasing Kobe's 81, and they end up getting beat by, 12 points? It was unbelievable how they melted down. Now, they were on the second half of a back-to-back, so that fourth quarter caught up to them, but they should have beat the Hawks last night. That was ridiculous.
They should have beaten the Hawks. And how about the Hornets beating the Bucks last night?
Very impressive. I mean, the Hornets have been very impressive.
I'm telling you, the Bucks don't scare me at all. Miami, yes, not the Bucks.
Nope. There's something off with that Bucks team, and it's not just Giannis.
But there's a separation. But there's a separation between Brooklyn and the rest of the East. Let's just be clear about that.
100%. Masters, NBA, we got it all. NFL headlines coming up next here on the Lombardi Line. Racing fan, First Bet, that's the place for you. With wagering on races at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, it's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sports. Secure payments, attentive customer service, reliable website. All brought to you by ExpressBet. Right now, you get up to $100 deposit match. Use the code Vegas100. Go to vsin.com/horses and use the code Vegas100. We do welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. It's a great Saturday as we take a look at Augusta National there, Michael Lombardi. It overcast yesterday. It looked ominous yesterday, and it never rained. It never let down. 60% chance or better for it to rain today.
Well, you're on top of it. I know you've been working the weather maps. I appreciate all the effort that you give to it.
Yeah. Of course. Thank you.
You know, look, I think the humidity, there was moisture in the air, which I think when just listening to them, of course, I'm not a golfer, but listening to the way they talked about it, it did help their keep the ball from rolling. And it kept the course from playing as fast as it did on Thursday. So I think that's what we saw. But, you know, we said six, you know, and Justin and Rose got to not seven only because he parred it, you know. What do you think DeChambeau's going to do today? You think he's going to come out of the woodwork? Would you play him?
You know, it's almost, he was 5-under yesterday on his round yesterday. He shot a 67 yesterday. He's 1-under on the tournament. He did something crazy at 18 where he took a path that was nobody. A friend texted me and said, you don't understand what DeChambeau just did. I wasn't near the TV. What happened?
Well, he went over, he took it over the, you know, as you know, that looks like a giant L on 18, right?
Right.
That's the only way I can describe it. It looks like a giant L. And he took it over he didn't even try to cut the corner or play a power fade.
He's a freak.
He took it over the top. He took it over the top of it. And when they hit it, Nance and Sir Nick Faldo said, oh my God, they'll never find that ball. And the next thing I know, like he's like almost greenside over by the, on the left, on the right side, with a clear shot to the green, maybe with a wedge in his hand. And he birdied it with a wedge in his hand. Like, I didn't even understand it. Like, I thought they'd have to send a search party in.
And, you know, he's – all kidding aside, he's a great putter. I mean, it's he has that weird stance, and he has a weird motion, but he's a very good putter.
I think, let's be real clear, we have to get away from DeChambeau. There's the golfer, and then there's the whole enterprise. You might hate the enterprise, but the guy is talented. You can't deny
the
talent.
Oh, hell yeah.
You can't. You can't. I mean, you know, would you want to go have a beer with him? Me, perhaps no. I would say probably not. I would just be good, say hello, and move on. But I respect the talent tremendously.
Just throw up the deuces and move on. Yeah, Harmon,
yeah,
who you mentioned.
We could just pass each other in the hall, Patrick. You know, we're good.
I got you. Speaking of putting, you always look at strokes gained as far as putting at the Masters, and Harmon is third so far through two, through 36. So, again, something to keep note of.
He's worthy of a bet. I thought what he did at 15 showed such maturity. You know, he's got a – I think he had a 7 or an 8 iron into the 15 on the second shot. And they were really having a hard time judging the distance on 15. I mean, Dustin went in the water there. He just fell like about 2 feet short. And Harmon went over, and he was in a real tough spot. I mean, he went over by a lot.
Yep.
Okay. And then he did a flop wedge to basically to the fringe. That's all he tried to do. And
then
he went in and he made par. Brilliant. I mean, look, he took his medicine and went home, and it could have had a double on him. You know, when you see that shot, you're sitting there at home on the couch, you know, eating corn chips, and you're thinking, why doesn't he just go after the pin? You know, it's like, and then you see all these balls start rolling in the water.
Two straight in the 60s for Harmon, 69 yesterday, one back of Rose. He's 12-1 on the board right now as far as the tournament's concerned. Yeah, you know, it's so fun when you go back nine at Augusta on a Sunday. And remember when Tiger won a couple of years ago, everybody just kept going in the drink. Koepka went in the drink. Molinari went in the drink. It's just the pressure starts to mount there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's challenging. I mean, look, the you know, Thursday and Friday, you play kind of loose, right? You can play. You're in position. Now it's the pressure's on. You know, now moving. It's Saturday. You know, whether, you know, you've got everything comes down and that club starts to get a little tighter and everything starts to become more important. And the 3-foot putts that you think you're making easily don't always go into the cup. I mean, look what happened to Justin Thomas on 18. I mean, Tim and Finau, they could have had a better round if they would have. Didn't they bogey 15, both of them?
Yeah. And by the way,
I mean 18. I'm sorry, 18. I'm sorry.
You nailed it, Thomas bogeyed coming in as well. The Washington football team could unload all of their picks to move up to grab Trey Lance. How do I know? Because it's quoted by our very own Michael Lombardi. We'll get into that.
I didn't quite say it like that.
I'll let you clean it up, and we'll get into some of these draft props coming up in a bit. Josh Applebaum's going to join next as well here on the Lombardi Line. Masters weekend, and nobody has better golf coverage than VSiN. Subscribers have access to our full Masters coverage at VSiN.com with current odds, analysis of key golfers, matchups, everything you need. It's the first major of the year, and our golf team is already in midseason form. So make sure you start your VSiN free trial right now. You see it on your screen. Just go VSiN.com/subscribe. It's very simple. It's all free right now to get started, okay? Masters coverage. You want to bet? Get over there. We welcome you back, Lombardi Line, Saturday. Remember, we're going to be here Sunday as well, moving day at the Masters Augusta. They're showing the picture right now. Looks clear again. 60% chance of storms coming in later with wind picking up gusts of 15 miles an hour. Michael Lombardi in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here at the South Point. What the hell is going on out there? What are you wearing?
What is going on?
What is he
wearing?
Oh, I like it.
Wait, seriously, we have to have a conversation. Why do you both
hate me? You got a package.
No, I didn't get a package.
I think it's was you never gave a home address because obviously you don't want anybody knowing where you live since you're in witness protection. But I think it's probably in the mail downstairs. I would suspect it's at VEASAN. I think it was sent directly to VEASAN. I double checked on it because I never, when I send an email and you can't put a thumbs up or a ha next to it, that's too much. So I asked for your home address. I never received it. So we're gonna talk honestly here. We're gonna talk on, you know. And so I just said, we'll send it to VEASAN.
This is
so it's
nonsense.
Somewhere downstairs.
This is buffoonery.
I have documentation. You look good though, Josh. By the way, you look
Thanks,
good.
God.
I hope you got a lot of baseball plays with that shirt on. I can't wait. I'll be right back with after you guys talk baseball. I'll be right back.
Well, can you come up a little bit? I want to see the gear on you. Can you pull up a little bit? There it is.
I just want to say, guys, real quick, Patrick, you are going to love this. This is just straight fire. Thank you to Michael Lombardi.
Josh.
It's going to be at the VEASAN store soon. But, guys, I'm very happy. Michael, thank you so much. I love the gear.
You're quite welcome, Josh.
You look
You're
sharp.
Quite welcome,
you
man.
Both look sharp. I look forward to it. Hey, JJ, can you ask
coach?
Downstairs? Say downstairs, is there a package for me? We'll find out by the end of the show. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I'm sure there is one down there. I'm sure there is there is one down there. So, yes, I do.
Check it out downstairs.
About football? You wanted to ask me a question about football.
I do.
Oh, the Washington football team.
Do you want to clear up your quote? And we've got our buddy Josh,
here's
of
what
course,
I said.
Market Insight team.
Here's what I said. Hello, Josh. Here's what I said. I said simply this. The Washington football team is obviously they like Trey Lance. They want to wait until the draft unfolds to see where what happens. And I think once that draft unfolds and he starts to, if he gets past the fourth pick, I think they will be aggressive. And I use the word aggressive to trade up to get him. And I think that they like him. Look, they're one player. Their view is they're just that quarterback away. Now, Ron Rivera is in charge of the whole football operation. Marty Herney and Martin Mayhew, they're assisting him. And I think it's going to be Rivera's call if they want to move up to go get him. But I think that's going to be the conversation. They like him as a talent. They know he's a year away. They have Fitzy, who's on the course at the Masters, walking around. You know, they have him for a year. They can redshirt Trey Lance. They've got it's the perfect situation for Lance. They've got the quarterbacking. They've got the starting quarterback. They've got back Kyle Allen. They've got the kid that they signed from Old Dominion there. So they've got all these guys in there, and he could be a fourth quarterback redshirt and go from there.
Okay, Josh, let's get into a couple of these props, including Lance. Good job, Michael, clarifying the quote there. Odds to go 3 overall. This number seems off to me, plus 275 on Lance. My guess is that's been updated. That seems a little short on Lance. I don't know, Josh, if you have another number. But Jones is the favorite. There you see, go 3 overall. Jones is the favorite at minus 200. Fields, plus 260. And Lance, there it is, updated number, 4-1 there, Josh.
Yeah, Patrick, Michael, great to be with you today. But I think right now is crunch time if you're going to bet some of these NFL draft props because, you know, we've been highlighting them for weeks now. But as we're getting closer and closer, only a few weeks away here from the draft, you're going to start to see these numbers really, really skyrocket one way or the other. So you want to try to pick your spots, try to beat these closing lines. Michael already handed out a great winner here with Zach, or not a winner, fingers crossed, but Zach Wilson, second overall. He was around minus 175. He's now up to some books like minus 1,000, minus 1,100. So we're really starting to see the board solidify here. Trevor Lawrence, you know, nothing breaking news here, but he's minus 10,000 to go first. Wilson, minus 1,100 to go second. But Michael, I want to throw this one at you, this number three pick. We know San Fran made that huge trade to move up to number three. You know, a lot of people would say you don't move up to three to get anyone else other than a quarterback. So who do they like, Michael? We're seeing this line move to Mac Jones. We heard Chris Sims come on Lombardi line, said they may like Mac Jones here, but he's minus 200. This, about a week ago, was kind of even money between these guys. It was really a three-person race between Jones, Fields, and Lance, and we're starting to see Mac Jones, whether it's real, whether they're coming off these news reports that San Fran likes Jones. I'm seeing books that are now minus 300 here, Patrick, to Mac Jones, so he is moving. Fields plus 275, and then Trey Lance is kind of drifting here. But Michael, what do you make of this? Is this all real with Mac Jones? Because if you like it, minus 300, it looks expensive, but this could be minus 1,000 in a week, so you may want to jump on it.
Well, I think they'll end up saying exactly who it is. I think they realize they don't have to hide their pick. They know Zach Wilson's going too. I mean, now that Darnold's been traded. So, you know, I do think it's Mac Jones. Everyone that I know in the league that that talks to and understands the situation in San Francisco believes it's Mac Jones. They're going to fly back, and I think they're going to spend time looking at Justin Fields when he has his second workout. Remember, there's no private workouts. You can't have private workouts with players. So there's no, you know, they went back and worked Fields out, or they went back and worked Lance out. No, that's not happening. You've got to do it when the player allows them to do it. Now, Fields and Lance are willing to do second workouts. I think it's important for both players to do that. As much as the media said Fields had a tremendous workout, there's a lot of people within the league that his footwork, his mechanics are going to take some time. That doesn't mean he's not a good player. Here's what I said, and I thought this was really important for the people in New England and Nesson, that if you want to understand the dynamics of the draft, right? The draft is never about, I like that player, he's a first-round pick, internally, especially in New England. The verbiage must match the player. So, for example, if the Patriots like Justin Fields, they have to grade him to where they feel like he would be a top five player at his position. That verbiage is critical, because that grade would then allow him to be placed on their board at a high enough position to then justify trading assets to get up to him. If they have him graded as a potential starter, let's say, underscoring the word potential starter, that in time could be able to be in the top 20 at his position, that's a second round pick. That's not a first-round pick. So they're not going to trade assets away from what the verbiage tells them. This is what I think we don't get enough of when we listen to mock experts, whether it's at the Worldwide Leader or anywhere else. Verbiage dictates where the players go. Not, I think he's a first-rounder, I think he isn't. That's why Jamar Chase will be the first receiver pick, because you could say he's a starting X receiver and will be top five at his position. I hear you, JJ. I know we got to go.
Well done, Michael. Jamar Chase right now, first wide receiver drafted, minus 350. Devontae Smith, 4-1 on the board. Plenty of draft props. Trust me, we've got plenty to go over the next hour and 20 minutes. When we come back, Michael Lombardi's going to set us up on today in Major League Baseball. No, just kidding. Josh is going to do that. We continue. It is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Sure, Ann, our engineer, just had a heart attack. We may want to check on her over there. Nationals or Dodgers today? Baseball players may not get style points for home runs, but bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when somebody goes yard in a game. Just sign up with BetMGM using the promo code VSIN100. That's the code. If you bet $1 on the money line today, Nationals, Dodgers, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. That's pretty simple, and it's going to happen, so make sure you get in there. Got to be 21 years or older, located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9 within an Indiana, Tennessee, caller text redline 800-889-9789. We do welcome you back. Michael Lombardi, it's a busy day in baseball. Would you like to set us up? I teased it. We can 15 games today, M. Lombardi. What do you got for me, huh? Major League Baseball.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's the perfect time. The weather's getting better. I know, Josh, you want to talk about some of the unders that are hard to hit. I think this would be the perfect time for you to do that. You can hit on those. You know,
that's a good transition.
I mean, look, I think, you know, look, I know this. Here's what I do like. I know DeGrom's pitching today against the Marlins, so he's the best pitcher in baseball, and I don't think we should debate it any longer. So
no,
there's just a small problem. The Mets never seem to win when he's on the mound, so that's what gives me a little bit, like, now here's a chance to play the Miami Marlins with against the best pitcher in baseball. I'm going to get you on this, Patrick.
Right? I hear
the best pitcher in baseball, and they never win for him. So I've learned through Mr. Applebaum and yourself that you bet dogs. And DeGrom is going to put the Mets in position to be the favorite. So I'm going to play the Marlins because they never seem to win.
That is, you know what? That actually was pretty damn good, because you're never going to lay a price of 270 there, Josh, with DeGrom on the bump. They always, as Michael just mentioned, they give the games away. Go ahead, Josh.
No, Michael, you're totally right here. So a couple things. Number one, got to know your options when you're betting baseball. So we're looking at the Mets minus 270. When you're laying these big numbers in baseball, it's tough to turn a profit because even if you win these plays, anytime you lose, you're really, really going to get hurt because you're risking so much. So you're totally right, Michael. This would be a dog type situation here on Miami. I think your options would be number one, this line open around minus 260, 270. It's starting to come back down a little bit. Obviously, a really popular play here with the Mets. Miami actually had a lead there and gave it up late yesterday. Mets came back and won that one. It was kind of controversial with Conforto getting hit in the arm there, walk off with a hit batter there. But, Michael, one thing is a lot of sharps, what they like to do with the Mets is bet them first five when DeGrom's on the mound. And, Patrick, you know
good,
this.
Good job, Josh. Go ahead.
Yeah, you always worry about the Mets blowing leads, and it's kind of like, you know, DeGrom death taxes, and it'll go seven innings, no runs. It'll be a 1-0, you know, 0-0 game, and then the bullpen will blow it late. So here's an option. If you're betting baseball, kind of like other sports, when you have your first half, you can also go first five. So you could take the Mets just to get through the first five innings with a lead with DeGrom before maybe the bullpen blows it. That'll be a situation to look there. But just know in baseball, you have these different options. If you like a pitching matchup like DeGrom, but you're worried about the bullpen, you can target these first fives. And I think that's maybe the most important takeaway there with that game.
Yeah, mitigate some of it. Again, Josh, just to explain to the better, if you're laying a price of 270, see the number on your screen. We'll throw it up for teaching purposes. Minus 270 on the Mets. That means you have to bet $270 to win $100, $2.70 to win $1. You will lose all of your money over a season if you're betting that type of price. Now, you may want to couple it for fun and a couple of parlays. I don't know. But if you're playing with that type of number, Josh, just explain it a little bit further here. You're going to get burned.
Yeah, you're just risking so much. And the other thing with baseball is, like, you know, there are games that look like a layup. Like, how can the Mets possibly lose with DeGrom on the mound against the Marlins, who have struggled this year? But it's baseball. It's sports betting. Anything can happen. But really, you got to think about the long game here. Like, let's say you bet 10 games in a row of favorites minus 270. You could go 8-2, but still break even or actually lose money because the ones you're losing so much. You know, if you're risking, you know, and what I like to do is bet to risk, not bet to win. That way, if you're going to bet the Mets, you're only risking your one unit. You're only getting about a little less than a half unit back if they win. But the moral of the story here is if you pound these big chalk favorites, you could go 7-3, 8-2 and still either lose money or barely make anything. The juice really isn't worth the squeeze with these huge favorites.
Good job, Michael.
Right,
you set it up perfectly.
I got another one. I got another one. I'm going to give you I do some research before I get on the air. I just don't come wing this thing, you know? I mean, I have to pay attention to baseball. I'd rather cry about it than pay
Wait, hold on. Is it true or false on Wednesday we brought up baseball and you started snoring in the background?
Well, I mean, it is. I don't think anybody sits at home and says, you know, I want to play baseball. I think they want to talk about the draft. They want to talk about the NFL. But you two love baseball,
yes.
So I'm part of the team.
Let's go.
You know? Okay, Chris Archer's on the mound today for the Tampa Bay Rays, right? He has not been the same pitcher. We know this since he was with the last time, and he has not pitched so far in 2020. And the Rays and the Yankees, they got this thing going on between them. I mean, I listen to Berman. He's a Yankee fan, and they beat the Yankees 10-5 in the opening game of the series. So we got German on the mound, is it? Is it German on the mound? He's coming.
Herman works, but whatever.
Herman.
Your world.
Thank you, Patrick. Herman.
Yes.
Millie likes Hermes. Hey, she likes something that begins with an H, too. Hermes, yeah, Hermes, or whatever the hell they call it. Yeah.
He wasn't. I understand.
They should. Yeah, all right, so, I mean, where are we on this game?
There you go. See, this is why you're brilliant.
This is perfect.
It was.
This is great.
It was. Listen, Herman Archer, today the Rays always, you're always going to pay a price with the Yankees, just that brand, and Kluber got chased after 2 1/3 yesterday. The Yankees got pummeled 10-5, and have we seen Aaron Judge? That's the question. He's out with general soreness. What the hell does that mean?
I mean, is Aaron Judge and Embiid the same player? Like, seriously. Like, you never see these. Are they the same guy? Like, I keep wondering. Like, the guy never, durability is as an important quality as ability. And Judge just can't stay healthy. My God, he's frustrating.
Yeah, 100%. Josh, what do you got on this one?
No, Michael, I'm glad you brought this one up. This was a game that I circled here, wrote about it in the VSiN newsletter. Sign up for free, VSiN.com/newsletter. But what I like about this one here, guys, is kind of the value of a gambler's fallacy play to kind of go against the Yankees and back the Rays in this one. Because gambler's fallacy kind of says, like, you know, a great team like the Yankees, they lost yesterday, so therefore they have to bounce back today and win this game. But we all know, you know, sports betting isn't played on a team that's due or what has to happen. Every game is, you know, kind of an individual type situation. But I like like about this one, guys, and again, baseball's a money line sport, so pay attention to these money line moves. But the Yankees, they're a big public play today. Fans and public bettors say they got to win. Yet the Yankees, despite getting a big majority of bets, they open around minus 125. They're down to around minus 114. So you got to ask yourself, if they're the popular play, why is the price getting better on the Yankees? The bookmakers are kind of enticing you to play the Yankees with a better number. This tells me you're taking some money here on the Rays. So I'd look to back the Rays here again. You know, they move from like plus 115 down to plus 104, and they'd match some systems that have done pretty well this year. Look at divisional dogs and dogs with a line move in their favor, 21-17, 55%. Another one that I like is a home dog who made the playoffs last year. Kind of tells you a good team who is kind of maybe used to bouncing back in these spots. They are 49% last decade, but around a 7% ROI when you're getting these plus money payouts. So, Michael, it looks like, Yankees big lopsided public play here, but buying low on the Rays who won yesterday, a little bit of value there, dog high total in the division.
But I'll tell you one thing, Josh and Patrick.
Please.
I've circled a game today that I think is really going to be something that bettors are going to want to tune into, because I think whenever you can get two bad pitchers pitching against one another, like Chichi Gonzalez going against Logan Webb when we're playing the Rockies and the Giants, I think it's anybody's bet. And I have a hunch. I just have a hunch that my man Josh Applebaum is all over this, because Webb is, what's Webb's career ERA at 5.35?
Well, you know it.
I mean, if Webb was pitching in my Stratomatic leagues, I wouldn't even put him on the mound. I mean, Sonino would tell me, we're just going to bomb this guy. Like, seriously, get that card out of here. Josh, the floor is yours.
Can I just say this?
The Rockies or the Giants?
Can I say this? They opened the series yesterday, didn't score many runs, and we saw the unders go 6-3, Josh. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought this one up too, Michael. This one's funny because
you're such an ass kisser. You always say that.
This is so funny because, I got my note cards ready for these. Michael, you walked right into my wheelhouse today in baseball. I love this. But, Patrick, the first thing here is...
I study this. I'm doing the Matlock. I'm pretending I don't know, but I've been fully vested in baseball betting. Millie doesn't know it. I've got a hidden account over here. I'm betting baseball like crazy.
Glad you brought it up, Michael.
I would say, you guys, just to your point with totals, Michael, great point by these guys with both ERAs really, really high, Gonzalez and Webb, their career and so far through one start. The ironic thing is this total is really juiced to the under. So even though you have kind of two bad pitchers, the under 8.5 is minus 115, tells you some liability here on a lower scoring game. It was a low scoring game yesterday. 3-1 that the Giants won. But here's another thing. Unders in baseball, they're 55% right now. They're actually in the division. Here's where it gets even better. Kind of knowing the pitcher, knowing the matchup, knowing how to attack hitters. 42-30, 58% to the under. Gets even better if you can layer on like some wind blowing in or maybe an under umpire. You can really kind of layer this these under systems in. But what I like about this one, Michael, even though it's two bad teams, two bad pitchers, and you say, how do I not take the big plus money? I actually kind of like the Giants here. I'm a guy who loves steam. Giants have been getting steam bigly here today, guys. They open around minus 150. They're up to minus 175. And in baseball, when you see this big steam, 10 cents or more toward a team, could be a dog, could be a favorite, 34-21, 62%. You get 20 cents or more, it's 11-5, 69%. And then here's another one. These big home faves, minus 150 or more, they're off to 67% start here in Major League Baseball. So I'd lean Giants here and also to this under, even though it looks like these pitchers could get lit up today.
Michael agrees.
Patrick?
That under's juiced up.
I think if you got two bad pitchers, I could pull out my Stratomatic set, which is right around the corner here. I can tell you, and two bad pitchers, you got to meet the hitters get better all of a sudden.
Hey, can I throw an NBA at Michael?
I hope you do.
Real quick, Michael, this is your wheelhouse.
I'm glad you brought it up, Josh.
Yeah, I'm glad he did bring it up.
No, really.
Can I bet the NBA game? He either wants to talk about the Raptors and the Cavs or the Rockets or the Warriors. They're the only two games he wants to talk about. He's going to take the Warriors. Steam's on the Warriors. He loves the Warriors. Josh, the floor.
That one and Toronto. What do you think of Toronto, Michael? They may get Lowry back today and Hood. They're like -2, -2.5, 3. They're now up to 3.5 going up against the Cavs. What do you think of that one? If Lowry plays, movement to Toronto.
If Lowry plays, I think Toronto's a tough-minded team. I think they'll bounce back. I think Cleveland's so inconsistent, I would never bet them as the favorite. They're getting 3.5 at home. It doesn't matter.
That was as much fun as I've had in a while. Michael Lombardi, unbelievable. He somehow brought Hermes bags into Herman pitching. It's unbelievable. Josh, you look sharp.
I'm here for you, Pac. I'm here for you. That's why I study baseball. I was up at 4:30 this morning looking at this baseball stuff.
No, you weren't. We're coming back.